When I don't know if our speaker tonight is a saint, but
darn
why
close.
Did somebody laugh about that?
Because he's so close to it.
But I'll tell you, this man is loved by everyone. He is dearly loved by everyone, and he has had so many years in business that he's able to help other people with their business. And he wrote a book. I hope you brought a couple tonight, did you?
No,
he didn't. But he wrote a book that's going to help other people out there when they go into business. They will know the loopholes. They'll know some of the answers that they're going to need by reading his book. Yes, he's good in business, but I guarantee you the one thing that he is best at is God's business, and that's our George Thorne.
I will tell you, before the night's over, we are going to have a celebration. Because I realized that I sat down to put my words together and that I'm the first talk after the new year.
Woo!
Right? And that's the time when we all make our hopes and dreams and aspirations and goals for the new year. Before I start, I got to tell you a story. I was sitting down to write this. My where my computer is, my office is toward our back little bedroom. There's a bed right next to it. I'm sitting there typing away, and all of a sudden I feel this thump on my back. Just, and I turned around and there was no one there, and it scared the, well, it scared me. And I looked around, and there was no one there. But it was very. And I looked down, and it's the cat. And the cat has figured out how to reach up, jump up on the bed, reach up, pat me on the back because he wants outside. But I thought, angels, am I doing wrong? You know, what did I do here? And then I also thought, because writing about the first of the new year, that I'd wear the sash and the diaper. But I thought, no, that'd be too much for everybody. But as I said, the new year comes filled with resolutions and hope for a brighter future. And when we talk about saying goodbye to yesterday and thinking about today and tomorrow, and everybody makes resolutions and dreams and hopes and what they want to do, and I'm ready to talk about that in the future and what we can do and what we have to look forward to. But I'd like to get to what I think are the heart of things, which I believe is directly going to impact what kind of future each of us is going to have. And I think it all begins with one simple question. A question I've been asking myself for many months now, and I invite you to ask yourself the same. And Millie touched on it last night in class. The question is really very simple. Who am I? Simple question, huh? I'm beginning to see that the answer that I come up with will determine if I'm going to live a life filled with hopes and dreams and reaching the goals that I have planned for my future, or if I'm going to live a life filled with anxiety and fear and trepidation. But in order to find the answer to that question for me, I've found that I have to ask myself two more questions. If I want to find out who I am, do I see myself through my eyes, or do I see myself through God's eyes? Do I see myself through human eyes or the eyes of spirit? Of course, we know it's a trick question because we all know that we're bubbles of God. But the question is, how do we really see ourselves every day? The answer, I'm realizing, directly determines the quality of our lives. Most of the time, certainly in my past, I didn't see myself very often through God's eyes, but through my very human eyes. But I'm working very hard to change all that, because I know that if I choose to look at my life differently, that it's the difference between night and day. What's the difference between looking through our human eyes or God's eyes? Here's the difference to me. When I see myself through human eyes, my human eyes see my weaknesses, I see my faults. It holds me back and sometimes keeps me sad. And I know if I continue to see myself this way as I have most of my life, that my life will be limited by what comes to me, what I see and what I do. And also when I see myself through my eyes, I often see what's wrong in others. I blame them. I don't have to take responsibility for myself, it is always somebody else's fault. I am a victim, which is what Millie was talking about in class last week. But when I see myself through God's eyes, everything changes. I am whole, I am complete, I am good, I am perfect. Not perfect in terms of my ego, which never allows me to be perfect anyways, but perfect in terms of feeling God's love and love for myself. When I see myself through God's eyes, I love myself, I love others, I am strong, I am powerful, I am courageous and without fear. Because when I see myself through God's eyes, there's nothing to fear, nothing. I love Millie's take on the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But the question she always asks us is, how are you doing unto you? Do you love yourself? Do you believe in yourself? Do you like yourself? I believe that's really one of the biggest problems, challenges our world faces. Can you imagine? Most of us really don't love ourselves as much as we could, which means most of us are really seeing ourselves through our eyes, our human eyes, certainly not God's. I just read about a study that was conducted across the United States by a sociologist who wanted to find out why some people reach their goals and others don't, or why some people reach some of their goals and not the others. The answer is so obvious, it is both profound and amazing. Above all, we blame ourselves for not having the skills or the talents we need in order to do whatever it is we want to do. Think about it. Even before we start to reach our goals, we blame ourselves for not having the ability or the talent to do it. We are done before we start. Here we are in the horse race. Everybody's lined up at the gate. Here we are. Starting bell goes off. Everybody takes off, but we go, no. I'm staying right here. I'm not leaving the gate. I can't do this. I'm not good enough to win this race. I'm not even good enough to run this race. We beat ourselves before anyone else can beat us, before we even try to reach the finish line. When it comes to the obstacles in your life, do you see yourself through your eyes or God's eyes? I want to read the beginning words of a song that was one of the first songs I heard when I came to church. It had a major impact on me. I had never heard it before. It is very beautiful and sums up everything that I believe, what God is and what God means to me. If you really listen and breathe in the words, you will know how deeply God sees you. The choir sang it on Wednesday night a few weeks ago, and it goes like this. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. When I first heard these words in this church, I'll be honest, I had tears in my eyes, because this one phrase says what God is to us and what we are to God. Nobody had ever said that to me before. Nobody had ever made me feel like that in my life until I found God. Right then, I felt God's love. I knew that I knew that I knew in my heart it was true. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings. God will lift you up and you will soar in his arms. He will bear you on the breath of dawn. He will support you, if not give you birth and love with you, with the beginning of each new day. Make you to shine like the sun. God can see your light. God can see your greatness, and he is shining a light on you. The question is, can you see it, and can you feel it, and hold you in the palm of your hand? You are profoundly loved. You are safe forever. So I ask each of you again, do you see yourself like this through God's eyes, or your very human eyes? Do you live your life believing and knowing this every day? Are you going to go into the new year knowing that God holds you in the palm of your hand? Or are you going to choose to see what's wrong and blame yourself for what you have not attempted to try? One thing we know for sure, the choice is ours, isn't it? These are tough times. Many of us are hurting. Some of us are struggling to pay the rent, even have food. Some of us have lost jobs. Others have having trouble getting our businesses off the ground. Some of us have family and relationship issues. There's a lot of pain to go around. So the big question is, how much do you believe in God and yourself, and do you believe in him and you right now? We all say we do, don't we? Well, this is the time when we really find out. Do you have faith? Do you believe? Do you believe in you? Because God believes in you. Are you looking at yourself right now through your eyes or God's eyes? And believe me, I'm saying these words to me as well. Because we know he will raise you up on eagle's wings. He will hold you in the palm of his hand. It's easy when you're feeling good to believe in God. I know, I do it all the time. I come in here when everything's all good, and I feel all warm and fuzzy and full of love of God. But what about when things aren't going so well? How am I then? How are you? Do you still believe? Do you still know that you know that you know? And do you see yourself as God sees you? When things are tough, are you living a life of gratitude? Are you still manifesting your dreams? Or do you just settle for what is and convince yourself that this is all there is because I really don't amount to much of anything? I know when things aren't going so well, I have a tendency to forget it. It's like magic going backwards, isn't it? Here's this great love, this tremendous spirit, this great spirit who is in us and around us. And at the first sign of trouble, I sometimes lose sight of this magnificence. I've gone through some things in my life that I've talked about before that weren't easy, and for a whole lot of years, felt sorry for myself. Why me, God? What did I do to deserve this? Now I know part of the reason why. I now realize that I'd never asked God for anything before. I pretty much knew for a fact that God didn't exist, so the mere fact that I had asked God why me at least meant that I've acknowledged the existence of something much greater. At least it was a beginning. You want the recipe for feeling lonely? You want to talk about feeling isolated? You want to talk about feeling empty inside? I could give it to you because I wrote the book on it. Absolutely, fundamentally deny the existence of God in your life. Forget there's something so much greater is there. Carry on your life as if God, as if spirit, didn't exist. But finally, I began to see all that I went through, the life I used to lead, now I don't, as God's divine intervention. So that I could be reborn, and I don't mean reborn Christian, I mean God reborn, soul reborn, spirit reborn, so that I could start over again, so that I could get whole and become complete. Some of us have big egos big enough that we have to be taken down a few notches to understand, to get it. I know I did. I still do, and we all know what ego means. Edge God out. God stepped in, certainly got my attention, so I could have a second chance in life, so that I could live the life that I was meant to live. Thank you, God. Thank you. You have given me a miracle. Thank you for intervening in my life and helping me to see. Thanking you for helping me to walk through my pain in life so that I could know and feel your greatness and your love and of those around me. There's a number of you sitting here out here tonight, I know, who have endured things far worse than I have. And I know you well enough that when things get tough in your lives, you have turned to God even more. I want you to acknowledge each of you. I have great respect and admiration for you. Some of you have had to walk through terrible difficulties in your life, yet rather than give up or turn cynical, or doing any other things society has to offer, you have instead turned even more to God. This is remarkable to me. This is faith. Some of you have suffered losses that would break most people, but not you. Instead, you have become stronger, brought even more love into your life. This is what courage is. This is what greatness is. This is what integrity is. I want to share with you something my new friend Louise said to me yesterday. She said, success is not so much what you do, the money you make, or the fame you achieve. It's the obstacles that you have overcome to get there. Exactly. I also want to tell you a story about some other people in this church that happened here a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night. Those of you in Tuesday's class have heard it already, but it's a beautiful story. I came into church that night, and I was in a lot of pain. My back was really hurting me. I also think my mind was hurting me as well. I didn't say anything, and I just walked in, and Lori LaPearl came up to me and said, George, what's the matter? Your energy really seems scattered. It's all over the place. She knew. She could tell, and I hadn't said a word. With that, she said, come here, sit down, and she sat on one side of me, and Terry sat on the other, and they brought me healing energy the entire night. By night's end, I could actually feel the energy passing through my body, and I was better, and before they began, Carrie was massaging my shoulders. I said, that feels good. I needed that. And she said, I know. Wait a minute. I'd never told these ladies anything that I was hurting, yet their energy, their intuition, their gifts, they knew. It was a beautiful moment. How do you think they see themselves? Through their human eyes or God's eyes? I know the answer, and so do they. They know exactly who they are, and they are all very beautiful. He will raise me up on eagle's wings, bear me on the breath of dawn, make me to shine like the sun, and hold me in the palm of his hand. Now I know that God here is here in my life. God is a part of me to help me rediscover my greatness. Who am I? I'm a part of God. I am whole. I am complete. I am perfect in God's love. God wants to help me find my greatness. I know because this is what God sees in me. This is what God wants for me and you. He would not have created us if that is not what he wanted. Do you really believe that God wants us to fail, to not succeed? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Spirit has created heaven and earth and all the planets and stars and oceans and flowers. Doesn't want us to fail. Doesn't believe that we have something great to offer. God is too great for that, and so are we. For my last few minutes here, I'd like to do something a little different than what usually happens. I'm going to ask you to join me in a little audience participation, if you're willing. Are you willing?
Yes.
About a month ago, my son, who was in law school, was working toward his finals and studying about 15 hours a day. He works very hard. And while he was studying one day, he sent me an email. Dad, this is the most amazing motivational speech I have ever heard. He later told me that he listened to it 20 times before his finals. You have to know my son. He gets very excited and motivated about things. What I'm going to recite to you comes from a speech a young coach gave his junior varsity football team before the big game. It's now on YouTube. Now, I know some of you aren't real crazy about competitive athletes, but I believe that athletics can be a metaphor for life. Athletics are about getting knocked down and getting back up again. My two sons were athletes in school. They both played baseball and football in high school and college. And they were raised not to be winners, but to be champions. They were always told that anyone can win, but it takes a champion to get knocked down and get back up again. Another version of the speech, also on YouTube, has this coach giving the same speech, and people are conquering their wheelchairs, recovering from surgery, winning a race, getting food, getting sober, all sorts of things. It's called, Who Am I? I Am a Champion. So what I want you to do is close your eyes for a second and think about a big obstacle in your life that you want to overcome in 2011. You may want a new job, place to live, a raise, food, paying the bills, overcome a physical problem, anything that you want to take on this new year. I want you to keep this in mind the entire time we're doing this. Everybody have a good idea? And every time I ask the question, who am I? All you have to do is answer, I am a champion. Can you do that? Let's try it one time. Who am I?
I am a champion.
Okay, that's all I want from you. Now, I've rewritten a few parts of this because, believe it or not, coaches don't always say the right things that you might hear in church. But most of it is in the original. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Today, people, I am honored to coach you, more honored to lead you onto your field of battle. Yet there is another honor to be bestowed upon you this day. That is the answer that comes with the most important question of them all. Who am I?
I am a champion.
That's right, and I need you to remember that throughout this journey, I will conquer what has not been conquered. Defeat will not be in my creed. I will believe what others have doubted. I will always endeavor to hold the honor and respect of those around me. Who am I?
I am a champion.
I acknowledge that my opponents may not expect me to win, but I will never surrender to their will. Weakness will not be in my heart. I will look to my friends, those who have brought me into this world, and those who have helped me, especially God, and I will draw strength from them. Who am I?
I am a champion.
I will gladly go out onto my field of battle, and I will move, groove, and do everything that I can do to face my challenge by every means at my disposal. And when I get there, I will love my enemy as I love myself, because I know, deep in my heart that my biggest enemy up until now has not been anyone else but me, for not believing in myself. And I know no obstacle outside of myself can stop me. Who am I?
I am a champion.
To my side, I have my comrades. My comrades are my friends. And most of all around me and inside of me is God, who has been with me through thick and thin, through sacrifice, through blood, sweat, and tears forever. Never will I let them down, because never will I let myself down. Who or whatever it is, my opponent does not know my heart. My opponent does not know my belief in God. Who am I?
I am a champion.
No one will deny me, no one will defy me, and no one will tell me who and what I am and what I can be. Belief will change my world. My belief in God has changed my world, has helped me to move mountains. Belief has moved continents and countries and put man on the moon. And it will carry me through the battle this day. Who am I?
I am a champion.
Defeat, retreat, these are not my words. I do not understand these definitions. I do not understand when things go wrong. I do not focus on my mistakes, but I do understand this. I understand victory, and I understand that I cannot lose if I hold God's hand as tightly as I can. No matter how bad things get, my heart, my mind, and God will carry my body when my limbs are too weak. Who am I?
I am a champion.
Today will be that day, not tomorrow, not next week, but right now, right how, right here in your house, in your home. Who am I?
I am a champion.
History will remember me, and I will not have to worry about whether or not it's kind. I will define myself with God inside of me. I will write my own praises, and no one will tell me what I can and cannot be. I will never go home, not without giving everything I have got, because who am I?
I am a champion.
Who am I?
I am a champion.
Who am I?
I am a champion.
I know almost every one of you, and I know one thing is that each of you is a champion. Build your goals, see your dreams, believe in yourself, see yourself through God's eyes. Make your future happen. Happy New Year. Have a great 2011. Listen, happy new you. Thank you very much.